Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to another Monday night installment here at Your Remedy Is in the Law. Tonight, of course, we're discussing various offensive litigating strategies. And this is with our speaker, Mr. David Merlin. My name is Martin Michaels. I'll be your host for this evening's conference brought to you by Your Remedy Is in the Law, which is in direct affiliation with Americans Restoring America. Before we get started with this evening, though, it is very important that I provide you with the following disclaimer.
Nothing that you hear on this call tonight may be deemed by you in any way, shape, or form to be legal advice. If you are on this call because of a situation in your life where you require legal advice, I very politely ask you to hang up the phone. Now, we don't mean to sound rude when we say this. We just want to express to everyone in no uncertain terms that anyone joining this call looking for legal advice has no place or business here. Nobody here at Your Remedy Is in the Law or any of the programs offered by Americans Restoring America is a lawyer, attorney, or any member of the bar. Therefore, no one here is able to offer you any legal advice. Should you require legal advice, my advice to you would be get an attorney. As for these calls, they're all just for entertainment purposes. It's just folks saying what they might do where they're similarly situated to you. You might get a little bit of education out of it, but mainly you're just going to get folks' opinions about what they might do. However educated and experienced these thoughts and opinions might be, they are just people's opinions nonetheless. And it's always up to you to do your own due diligence. All right, on to the next subject. I'd like to go over a few things here with Your Remedy Is in the Law, if I could, very quickly. First of all, if I can take everybody to the homepage of www.yourremedyisinthelaw.com. If we look in the upper right-hand corner, we see a little picture of the Constitution. Click on that, and you'll have a separate page come up with just two items on it. These two items are of much importance, though, especially if this is all new to you. First and most importantly on the left is the jurisdictionary course. This is your 24-hour crash course on the rules of civil procedure, better known to some as American jurisprudence or AMJUR. The rules of civil procedure are essentially the foundation or structure upon which all law in America rests. So to have a firm and thorough understanding of these rules means to have at least a basic understanding of what's going on in virtually any court scenario that you find yourself in. On the right is the common law default process, mostly known for its high national win rate in most traffic cases throughout the country. At least that's what it's most popularly acquired for. But that is not really why it's on this page. The reason that we have it up here with the jurisdictionary course is when you go through it, you'll notice that it utilizes a lot of the same fundamental procedures that you learned about in the jurisdictionary course. So it kind of acts as a real-life homework assignment. Also, for a lot of folks, it's their first time committing to action. Folks seem a little more willing to take that first step, probably because of such a high success rate and traffic scenarios being such a common interest in this country today. The common law default, although known majorly for traffic purposes, has many other. Truly, it's for most scenarios that you may find yourself in where there's no damage to property or person. It's just some entity is claiming you broke a rule, therefore you must pay a civil penalty. Though these items are very affordably priced, the jurisdictionary with a contribution of $250 and the common law default at $150. Also on the subject of Your Remedy Is in the Law, most of you are probably familiar now with Americans Restoring America. Every time you visit the homepage of YourRemedyIsInTheLaw.com, you are met with that blue box that pops up asking if you'd like to continue on to the site that you were visiting or stay and visit Americans Restoring America. The reason that we've done this is very simple. We're trying to get folks to explore. There are multiple information providers talking about multiple subjects, as well as many other features and study groups that Your Remedy Is in the Law. And Your Remedy Is in the Law is just one of a couple dozen websites that all together make up Americans Restoring America. So there's quite a bit for you to see, and we hope that you'll do just that at your leisure. If you have any questions about whether or not we have an information provider that could give you their personal educated opinion about your particular situation, get a hold of us at YourRemediesInTheLaw.com, and we'll be happy to assist you in any way that we can. Statewide communications. If you're not already a member, please do sign up. Tell your friends and family about it. That's that map of the United States that you see on virtually every site that we have. It's a private communications platform that enables folks to speak with one another on a local level based on a very strict, pre-decided topics of discussion. Essentially, how it works is this. A wizard will walk you through a very easy setup. You know, put your name in here, click next. Put your zip code in here, click next, that sort of thing. Then it will walk you through the remainder of the setup. And then you'll get to a point where it'll ask you, what are your hot points? What are you interested in? This could range anything from credit card issues, home foreclosure, IRS matters, asset protection, or maybe veterans' rights, maybe personal health rights. Anything that you can think of that if it affects your personal rights in one way or another, you should find it in that list or something that's close enough. When the setup is complete, it puts it all together. Much of how you think of a social network. Though nothing like a social network. It's very custom. It's very private. But it then puts you in contact with people in your local area that have similar interests to you. The idea here is to put the power of education and communication back in the hands of the common man. If you are in need of legal advice or you need someone to represent you, you're going to have to get an attorney. It's just that simple. But if there was a way, a private place that you could go to discuss matters, your personal opinions, their personal opinions, with people that were like-minded, maybe you jump online one day and you say, this happened to me today. First person comes back and says, well, I disagree with that. I don't think they should be able to do that. I don't think that's fair. Well, that's probably not going to be a tremendous amount of help to you. And maybe the next person comes on and says, well, I'll tell you what I would do where I similarly situated. I'd watch these YouTube videos, and then I'd go down there to my local county courthouse, go to the law library, get a law dictionary, and look up these terms. Maybe the next person after that says, those all sound like great ideas. I'd also go to this particular website and check out these educational materials that might assist you in your learning. And then for you to go and do some due diligence on what you're reading, just people's suggestions, people's opinions at all. But if you did some due diligence and educated yourself, maybe the farther you got into it, you discovered that it's not as difficult as you initially thought it would be because you're focused on one single subject. And you get to a point where you've educated to yourself, and now you're handling your own affairs, your own matters. Well, folks, there's nothing illegal or unlawful about that. And that's all we're trying to do here at Statewide Communications is just very simply get people start talking again. Of course, there's no cost to you for using Statewide Communications, either signing up or the regular using of it. And so we hopefully go pass that around. Freedom's Radio. If you're on the road, you don't want to deal with the call process, maybe you're just new to your remedies in the law and you don't yet have your username and password, therefore you can't see the phone number on the pin. By the way, if you'd like to pick up a membership to your remedies in the law, it's very easy. You just simply click the register button. Fill out your basic information there. You'll enjoy the first 30 days for free to evaluate it. After that, it converts to a very affordable $10 a month on your credit card or your PayPal. But every single call is recorded. You have years of archives to go through, a vast wealth of knowledge, as well as many other wonderful features. But if that's not an option for you today, you have freedomsradio.com. Every night the calls go out over the air at 9 p.m. Eastern live. There's also the question bar there where you can type in a question, click submit. As long as that's during call hours, that will pop up on the moderator screen, and we do our best to read every single one of those questions out over the air as long as they are appropriate. So you don't get the one-on-one with the information provider like you would be by being a private member, but you do get your questions answered. There's no cost to utilize Freedom's Radio, so no matter where you are or your circumstances, you never have to miss a call again if you don't wish. All right, winding down here, I'd like to go over one last bit of housekeeping. This is your caveat emptor, or your buyer beware. For any purchase that you may make at your remedies in the law or any of the other sites underneath the umbrella of Americans Restoring America, when you come aboard and you go with an information provider, you are doing just that. Information providers pay Mr. Edward for advertising at your remedies in the law. This payment would be an expense to that information provider along with any other expenses that they might have associated with your particular product or service. When you contact us, all we simply do is listen to your particular scenario, quickly deduce from a list of folks that, honestly, most of you would probably never be able to find on your own just simply because they can't be found. And we make those introductions. Not every part on the information provider is always going to be successful. everybody always hopes for the best. We plan for the best, and believe you me, we aim for the best. The unavoidable things do sometimes happen, and when they do, you have to roll with them and deal with them as you would with anything else in life. Again, we also want to emphasize, though, that the intent is always to be successful. If you have any questions of that, we welcome you to visit www.yourremedyisinthelaw.com/testimonials and see what others have had to say about these products and services. Now, let's touch very quickly on the subject of refunds or the refund policy. There is none. Not if your remedy is in the law, anyway. Of course, when you call the remedy and you go with a particular information provider, again, that is exactly what you're doing. So any discussion of a refund or a credit would be a strict and private matter between you and the information provider, and even then, that's very few and far between. It must be extenuating circumstances. You are expected to have done your due diligence before you commit to any particular process or information provider's time. All right, lastly, pertaining here to all of the information providers at Your Remedy is in the Law, we'd like you to remind everybody that all of our speakers at these conferences are our guests and should be treated with the highest level of respect. If you disagree with something that a speaker has to say, that's fine. Disagreeing is how we learn, but please, you must always be civil. Besides, if a question is posed properly and then answered properly, then we can all learn something from it.
All right, well, that is my ramble for this evening, folks. So without further ado, it is my pleasure to turn the call over at this time to our speaker for this evening, Mr. David Merlin.
No. Michael Edward here first, Martin, and then we'll bring on GW. But then, you know, when you're dealing with recordings, this is what we get. Anyway, so good evening, everyone. I thought I'd start tonight. We've always in the past pointed out the behavior of those in public office, particularly the lawyers and the benches, and their misbehavior. Many of you on this call tonight have seen firsthand that behavior. I thought that I'd open up the call this evening by sharing with you some quotes from what others actually in the judiciary have had to say over the years, and those that are surrounded or deeply steeped into the Department of Justice and places like that, to give their reflection of their own and what they have to say. So we'll start off with Justice Warren Berger. He lived from 1907 to 1995. He was Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court from 1969 through 1986. He said, and I quote, "Ours is a sick profession, marked by incompetence, lack of training, misconduct, and bad manners. Ineptness, bungling, malpractice, and bad ethics can be observed in courthouses all over this country every day. These incompetents have a seeming unawareness of the fundamental ethics of the profession. The harsh truth is that we may well be on our way to a society overrun by hordes of lawyers, hungry as locusts, and brigades of judges in numbers never before contemplated." After his retirement, he went on to say, quote, "In all my years as a judge, at every level of the bench, including the Supreme Court, at least 85% of all lawyers that practiced before me were either incompetent, corrupt, or both." That's telling it like it is, isn't it? California Judge Earl Johnson, Jr., he was born in 1933, so sometime later. He said, quote, "Poor people have access to the courts in the same sentence that Christians had access to the lions," end quote. William Blum, former United States Department employee. And this is quoted in The Rogue State, a book, A Guide to the World's Only Superpower 2000. He said, quote, "No matter how paranoid or conspiracy-minded you are, what the government is actually doing is worse than you could ever imagine." J. Edgar Hoover, we know him, 1956 in Elks magazine. He said, quote, "The individual is handicapped by coming face to face with a conspiracy so monstrous he cannot believe it exists. The American mind simply has not come to a realization of the evil which has been introduced into our midst." End quote. JFK, 7 days before his assassination, quote, "There's a plot in this country to enslave every man, woman, and child. Before I leave this high office, I intend to expose this plot." End quote. And then lastly, George Bush Sr. He said this to the White House reporter Sarah McClendon in 1992. Quote, "If the people were ever to find out what we have done, we would be chased down the streets and lynched." End quote. So I share this with you this evening because there's two sides to every story. We've seen the ugly side, and they're confessing the ugly side. It's the same coin and the same image for each one. This evening we will be sharing with GW about how the uniqueness of your political citizenship status is the only position that you could possibly take with which to exercise your constitutional rights. Otherwise, you have what they say are constitutional rights, but are actually mere privileges. And you know they're privileges, not because of what they say or how they identify the tree, but with the truth from which the tree bears, what fruit the tree bears. And we see that every day. We cannot have a conversation with anyone in law enforcement that has a clue about these different positions. Yet, we find that when we're dealing with, and I want to pull this quote up here as quickly as I'm able to, 1 second. When we read, there it is. Where is it? There we go. When we read conversations, communications between individuals within the government, we find that we have interesting comments that they make where they declare what we're bringing forward is true. And I'll give you an example of that right now. This is the United States of America Department of Travel to Governor Pat McCrory, Raleigh, North Carolina. Now, this is on official letterhead. It was printed November 23rd, 2015, just 8 years ago. The United States Department of Travel is telling the governor of North Carolina, quote, "We are sending this correspondence to make you aware of the unconstitutional acts committed by your law enforcement agencies and states against the people of North Carolina. These acts may or may not have been committed knowingly or unintentionally, but we are writing to your office to ensure that these violations are brought to your attention so that they can be addressed and corrected. As you may or may not know, there are people in your state whose status is ostensibly different than the average United States citizen and are considered foreign nationals or American nationals with certain safeguards and protections under the law. Our primary concern is that their travel rights in your state are not infringed. in order to educate your law enforcement regarding foreign nationals or American nationals in your state, you can call the Department of State here in Washington, D.C. to get clarity, or you can go to the Department of State's website. It gives the link for our website at, and it gives another link, and download the manual. The Department of State also offers training for your law enforcement officers free of charge to raise awareness and compliance. Log on to, and it gives the link. We have enclosed one of our affidavit forms for the exemption of registration and licensing for foreign nationals that foreign nationals have to file in your state to lawfully claim the exemption. This affidavit also can be used by United States citizens who are not driving or operating a motor vehicle for profit or hire. Please forward this information to all your law enforcement agencies in your state to prevent any unnecessary lawsuits from being filed against these agencies for not following the law and violating the rights of the people to freely travel without interference unless they are a threat to the public safety. If you have any questions regarding this matter, please feel free to respond in writing by mail or fax any questions or concerns you may have, and we will be happy to answer and address them. Thank you in advance for your cooperation and consideration in this matter. Best regards, Norv Eisenberg, Foreign National Division. It was also CC'd to the Department of Justice Attorney General Loretta Lynch and the Department of State Secretary John Kerry. And again, this is November 15th, 2015. Wow. So, with that in mind, how is it possible that we have these issues with law enforcement on the side of the road when we attempt to go about our way traveling about? How is it possible? It's possible because it is to the benefit of the state to deal with these American nationals on a per basis through the court system and just take the simple risk of not having to be sued and have penalties to pay for their absolute misprism of justice. So we have this form available. If you'd like a copy of it, email me. If you don't have my email, then just text me. If you have my cell phone, if you don't have my cell phone, then just call 1-800-625-4250, and I'll communicate with you and be glad to give you that contact information for me, and we'll go from there. I keep one laminated in my car. And I do that for the single purpose that if I'm ever stopped, I can hand it to a law enforcement officer and say, please read this first, and if you would, have a conversation with me. I do not want to see you or anyone become the target of an issue in litigation. And we can resolve this right now if you would. This is your formal notice, and it can go from there. Anyways, I just wanted to share that part. There's another letter that I'm trying to get, waiting to get greater clarity on. This letter is from the Arizona State Senate, State Senator Wayne Stump, to the Director of Public Safety for the state of Arizona that goes back to December 10th of 1985. When I get better clarity on that, then I'll share that with you as well. But for right now, we've got that nice little document. I'll be happy to share with you all. I'm waiting for GW to appear so that I can turn the call over to him. He likes to always come fashionably late to the calls, and that's okay. Gives me time to chat with you that I don't normally have. the cost to properly correct your political citizenship status ab initio from the point of the beginning, nunc pro tunc, to the beginning of all record keeping, is $5,000. It takes anywhere from 3 weeks to 3 months to run the process typically. And the end result is that you will get then 3 weeks to 3 months later from the State Department of the United States a new passport and a new pass card, which will look identical to the one that you may have already had. Hey, GW. And this passport and pass card will reflect a different position from law enforcement, or should reflect a different position from law enforcement than what your regular pass card or passport would do for you that you have received years ago. So welcome, GW, to the call tonight. I just shared with everyone the letter from the Travel Department of the United States to the governor of North Carolina back in 2015, and I read it nicely, clearly, and distinctly. I've already got a couple of texts from people asking for a copy of that. So while you're chatting and sharing with us the things that have gone on in your life this week, and possibly any goodies, we hope always to have a few nuggets, then we'll open it up for Q&A, and we'll take the care of it. Back to you.
All right. Well, yeah, I've been in California most of the time this last week, and just came back Sunday to my abode here, and the week was rather full with different people at different points of understanding how to use their status, or trying to understand what status means. And, you know, it is kind of a little bit of a hard, or I'd say a little bit of a mind meld, you know, kind of like you have Spock, you know, sitting there, okay, transferring that mindset, because you really have to get a mindset in understanding what status means and what it doesn't mean. And so it is a little unnerving at first, but if you just stick with it, you'll get it and you'll understand, especially if you're reading a lot of the things that are available to you from Michael on the website. You know, we were once colonists, things like that. You might have to read it 10 times. You might have to really just meditate on it, because it really is a state of mind. And then once you have that state of mind and you move forward and you get it done, you're much more in a place to be able to prevail, rather than just thinking, oh, well, I'll just get this done. And, you know, I've got people that have done that, especially some of my clients that have the full financial structure, so to speak, the 508, you know, the corporation soul, the chair of religious trust, and they'll say, yeah, I want to get that status done, and they'll call me up a year later. What does it mean again? It's like, what? You know, it's like, okay. You really want to know what it means so you can stand on it. So also, and really the real crux of it is when you're tested. And, you know, we all get tested pretty much at some point in our life. And it's good to understand exactly who you are and who you're not, and being able to articulate it, because as you probably have heard this before, you're hung by your tongue. or you're set free. And I really took that to heart, you know, a number of years ago when really trying to understand it. And I actually get that in, you know, from my creator, from my father and his word. It actually says it not in that exact way that I just said it, but it does say really, really close to that, that the tongue is can curse you or bless you. And so that's one of the reasons why to understand why we do this, okay, why we want our status corrected, not only to have it down in our mind and understand who we are and make that mental place where we know that we're one of the, you know, you are a sovereign, okay? Not a sovereign citizen. You are a sovereign. And by the way, when we, at times, and I've heard people, and I even have paperwork that says this, you know, that I'm a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. There's no other place I want to be a citizen of. Believe me. Citizen means you're subject to, okay? And there's no, for me, there's nothing better than being subject to a benevolent dictator, which is the Creator himself, okay? Love his dictates. They bring life. So, anyway, having said that, I think Michael was in the process of talking about how we procure the brand new passport card, and that the reason for that is because you can't really, according to the rules and regulations that are within the State Department itself, can't correct an already existing passport. You have to apply for a new one, and that's when they can recategorize it and put in the affidavit and give you really what you want, which is where it really matters, the information on the back channel that only the administrators who are either at the airport or pass through customs or the cop alongside the road or the judge, those people have the ability to see on a screen, which you don't. From the State Department, which is the highest agency in the land that has jurisdiction over citizenship, that's the one place where you want it to be when you're traveling, so that you can travel much more unmolested, so to speak. So we do it with the U.S. State Department. There's a process to it. It doesn't take too long if you get everything together. And we just go from there, and it's a great foundational thing to have done in your life, so that you can be in a better position to not only travel more unmolested, but you can also prevail in situations where you have altercations with courts and things like this, as those of you on this broadcast or have been on other broadcasts and heard Brother John speak about this, goes over a lot of, takes on a lot of cases for Michael and his team, court cases and different battles that people are having. He really has come to the conclusion it's a much better place to be statused than to not be statused when you're trying to prevail in court. So just having said that, if there's, we could probably go to the question. I can't think of really anything right now that is of real importance that has happened this last week or so, other than, peripheral stuff. So, anyway, Martin, if you're on the line, and you're there, feel free to open up the call for people with questions.
All right. Well, this is Michael tonight. Martin's taking the evening off, so that's good. Press star 2 on your keypad, ladies and gentlemen, to raise your hand. Press star 2 on your keypad to raise your hand. We'll go from there. While you're thinking and contemplating about that, I'm going to go over and check with Freedom's Radio. We've got a good crowd over there as well to see if anybody has already beat me to it. For those of you on Freedom's Radio, simply look to the center of your monitor. You will see the to the right side of the center, you'll see a silhouette of a rectangle laying on its side. Left-click into it, and then type away your comment or your questions, and then hit Submit. Underneath that, you'll see a place to put your name and some other information, then hit Submit. It pops up on my end, and I'll be glad to lend my voice to your comment or your question. Again, press star 2 on your keypad. If you don't, we're going to have a short call tonight, and GW will not be happy with me. He's going to find somebody else to dance with, and then you'll just really have me here to talk to you. I'm boring, frankly, sometimes, so let's go. Press star 2 on your keypad, ladies and gentlemen, to raise your hand. Otherwise, I'll start my Trebek recording. Dun, 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 dun. Press star 2 on your keypad. Otherwise, we're going to say goodnight and thank GW for his appearance. Let me check Freedom's Radio, see if anybody has raised or said something there. Nope. Well, GW, we don't have any questions raised. Any hands? Anybody raise their hands? I know. Well, I'm looking in that we have no first-time callers, so everyone on the call has basically heard this presentation. I'd be curious how many people on the call have not moved forward with correcting their status yet, and what plans are they making to do that, if any at all? And I'd like to know why. You're not making plans to get this done. It's important. The only right now you are property, quote, property in a franchise of the United States, end quote. For anybody not familiar with the term property, back in the 1860s and before, it was well understood that there was even a whole group of people. The first were the Irish, and after the Irish were the Africans. They were property of individuals. And now your property is the government. If you wanted to know if they can force you to be vaccinated, yes, they can. If a horseman can vaccinate his horses from equine encephalitis, if a cattleman can vaccinate his cattle against mad cow disease, well, the United States can vaccinate their property as well. You need to correct your political citizenship status. Well, GW, thank you for joining us this evening. I'm going to refresh one more time to make certain I don't want to leave anyone out. And otherwise, we're going to be saying goodnight to you and appreciate your coming on the call. Nobody at Freedom's Radio. Nobody raised their hands. Tomorrow night, Brother John will be returning with another episode as the stomach churns. And he will be sharing with us ongoing furtherings in the litigation of a Mr. T, who's being held in federal prison awaiting trial. And they're really in a quandary because all sorts of problems exist for them, including the fact that the alleged crime that Mr. T committed has nothing to do with violating any constitutional law that we have. So until then, good night, everyone, and be well.
Good night.
Good night, you, Debbie.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye. The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.